everybody. Welcome to episode 141 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pether. You can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDowell. Sorry, I've had a couple of drinks.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's 11 a.m. somewhere.
You've just
That's
been pushing
starts
through
drinking.
11 a.m.
Yeah.
You're getting on the rum. Getting on the rum, maybe, to commemorate this swashbuckling tale that we're about to talk about?
Nah, I wish. I wish. fuck that. Rum makes me sick. I'd make a terrible pirate. It's we're reviewing Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dead man tell no tales. Gar.
Dead man.
Gar.
Dead man.
Gar.
Dead man tell no tales. Which is true, because in this film I didn't see one dead guy with a tail.
No, that's true, you know. Well, you know, there were the dead sharks, but then it would be dead sharks tell no tales. So, dead men definitely have
and
no
that would
tales.
Be a lie.
They're not talking about
no tales.
There's no tales. No tales are told,
not
except the one
tale
that happened in this movie. Connor, what happened in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales? Tales.
So, Will Turner's kid is trying to find the Trident of Poseidon, which breaks all the curses at sea, which is, I mean, it's a bit of a cop-out. But anyway, he's trying to find the Trident to break all the curses at sea so he can save little Papa Bear, who is the captain of the Flying Dutchman harboring the dead, and he can't escape his boat.
Will Turner.
Anyway, he meets this girl.
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. He's back for 2 minutes. And then there's this girl, and I gotta sneeze. Sorry. And then there's this girl, Corona, like the beer.
Karina.
No, it's Karina, I think. There's this girl, Corona. That's what I said. There's this girl, Corona, and she's looking at the stars because she's trying to find this place, the map no man can read. Anyway, I guess they both, like, want to be at the same place, so they agree to help each other. And then at the same time, Javier Bardem plays a Spanish boat guy.
Boat guy.
I don't know what the fuck he's called. Navy. He's in the Navy.
He hunts down pirates.
Killed pirates. And then Captain Jack Sparr fucks him up when he was real little and curses him, basically, and he's stuck as a dead guy. And when Jack gives away his compass, he's allowed to leave the Devil's Triangle. And so he's after Jack. And so to defeat him, Jack needs to find the Poseidon so he can break the curse and then kill him. And then Captain Barbossa is getting all of his ships destroyed by Javier Bardem for whatever reason. And so Barbossa needs to find the Poseidon to kill Javier Bardem as well. And so they're all after the same Trident and they're all working together, and Javier Bardem's trying to stop him and he doesn't. And then Javier Bardem gets his curse lifted because they break the Trident, and then he dies because Barbossa kills him, and Barbossa dies as well because they're on a giant anchor, and then Barbossa catches the sword and stabs him and they fall into the water together. And also Karina was Barbossa's kid. Yeah, it happens just as quickly as I talk about it. And then the curse is lifted and Will's back and Keira Knightley pops up for a bit and he's like, "What up, bitch?" And she's like, "Oh shit." And then they do a little kissy-wiss. And then Captain Jack's got the Black Pearl. Yeah, again, it happens as quick as I say it. So he's got his fucking ship and Gibbs is there and that's it.
And he's off to float past his beloved horizon. And then did you see the after credit scene?
Yeah, and then Will Turner and Keira Knightley are in bed. Will Turner and Elizabeth Swatter are in bed. And then we see the shadow of Davy Jones come in, and then Will looks over at him and you see his big crab claw, but then turns out it was all just a dream. But then we tilt down to the floor and there's shells and water on the floor to imply that he did exist, which makes no sense because if all the curses were lifted, why the fuck would Davy Jones come back?
We'll talk about that.
And also, if all the curses are lifted, why is he a crab man? All right, sorry,
yeah,
I'm done.
We'll get to it. Well, Connor, before we get into the review, why don't you tell me your history with the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise?
Well, I grew up as a pirate.
You did.
I actually owned a boat, and we would just rob people generally all the time. And on the ship, we had three movies, Pirates of the Caribbean 1, 2, and 3. So that's all I watched. No, Pirates of the Caribbean 1, I remember I remember watching it as a kid and I loved it. Like, it wasn't like, I wasn't like obsessed per se. I wouldn't say I was like entirely obsessed with it like some people are, but like I definitely did enjoy it. And then the second one I saw in cinemas with my fam and I really liked it. And both of them were quite enjoyable. And then the third one I saw in cinemas and I remember thinking like it was like the first movie I genuinely didn't enjoy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like one of the first things I went like, I don't actually like this. And then the fourth one I remember seeing with my first girlfriend ever and my other friend, and we were all super excited for it and it sucked and we were really bummed out. And that's kind of my history, I guess.
Wasn't The Black Pearl just a massive, massive movie at the time? Like, I remember everybody like jerking off about it, like thinking it was the best thing they'd ever seen. And I didn't really get into it when it first came out. I don't even know if I seen it at the cinemas. Like, I was in high school at the time, and I remember my girlfriend at the time was just like loving it. She worked at Video Easy, and she'd like taken had like a life-size cutout of Jack Sparrow, you know, standee that she'd stolen from work, and had that in her bedroom. And she was just like, oh my God, I just love it so much. And I'm all like, the fuck, Pirates are so boring. Like, I was never really into like if you really think about it, there was like, Pirates weren't really successful until Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, maybe the last movie would have been like some sort of Treasure Island thing that I haven't seen from decades ago. So, like, they weren't really in the forefront until this movie came. And it was really what Johnny Depp did with Jack Sparrow that put this movie on the map. There was always the stereotype of the gars and, oh, shiver me timbers and all that, which is fine. Yeah. But, like, it's such a stereotype that has been through the ages that we're kind of done with that. So, for him to come in and play basically, like, this weird, eccentric, drunken pirate, it just changed the game. And we still had the stereotypes there, but because they were all bouncing off him, it was a lot better. But I don't know, I may have seen it on DVD and I sort of was like, yeah, it was all right. But I couldn't really understand why everybody was really getting into it. And then I seen Dead Man's Chest in cinemas and thought so of it again. And funnily enough, it wasn't until the third one that I started to be like, pay attention. And I don't know what it was, but something about that third one, it's a bit weirder, it's a bit stranger, like, it isn't very much like the first two. It sort of sparked my interest and I kind of started being like, oh, okay, well, it's pretty cool and Johnny Depp's fun. So my progression is almost the exact opposite of yours, because I hit my my peak of Pirates fandom on Stranger Tides, on the fourth one.
With because, one of the shittier ones.
Yeah, and it wasn't particularly because of that film, but because when number four was coming out, I was like, fuck, I don't know what happened in the other movies. So I went back and watched them all in like a couple of days, and then I saw what people were seeing, and I really got into it. I was just, man, these movies are just so much fun. And I can't really remember Stranger Tides too well. I did go back and watch the first three before seeing Dead Men Tell No Tales, but I didn't quite get to the fourth one, but I can't really remember it. But I remember enjoying it from what it was. I remember thinking it was weird that the other two weren't in it, like Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann, but other than that, it was okay.
This is like the point too, like, and like to segue onto this one, like, I think Jack has never been the protagonist in any of these films. Like, the first three films, Jack wasn't the protagonist. Mm. Like, he's definitely the big hitter. You know, he's the one everyone comes to see. Like, Alan is the one, not Alan. Is it Alan? Yeah, Alan. Hangover. Alan's the one to see in The Hangover. Like, that's why people go to see in The Hangover. But he's not the protagonist. And in the first, second, and third, he definitely isn't at all. But then in the fourth and in this one, they definitely give him that role.
It's funny that you say that, because I was just doing a bit of reading on the people who wrote and directed this, and they were really trying to channel Black Pearl, and they were trying to channel the fact that Jack Sparrow isn't the protagonist. Like, the first one was Elizabeth Swann, really, and then he just comes in and crashes the party. And that's what they were trying to set up, is the fact that he was, you know, coming in and, you know, it's about real people. So I'm guessing like Henry Turner and Karina are supposed to be the leads, and then he's come in.
I definitely think that's what they were trying to do as well. Like, they definitely go for that in this one. I think I'm talking more about Stranger Tides, but yeah, oh, okay, in this one they do try and set those those guys up as the ones that you really want to be watching.
But do you feel like they did? Do you feel like it is?
No, because they're fucking boring as shit. They're so fucking boring. Every scene they're in is so fucking lame. They do nothing. Like, they're so basic. Even the way they look, like, they look really plain too. There's something about the way, like, they just seem like fucking white bread. They're like the 85 cent bread you buy from fucking Coles. Like, it's like you can't get the premium Orlando Bloom Keira Knightley fucking $2.25 loaf, so you gotta get the 85 cent fucking bullshit loaf. And like every single scene where they're communicating with each other, I wanted to throw up in my mouth because it is so fucking boring. They're just talking and talking, and there's this whole tension, like, oh, you know, she's bold and has to be right and she's stubborn, and there's tension because of that. Fuck off. It's so lame. God damn it. No, well, I would argue
that Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann are fairly similar to that. Like, going back and watching all these movies, like, it really is the Jack Sparrow show. They're in it and it's really about them, but if Jack Sparrow wasn't there, this would be a boring as hell movie. It'd just be another, you know, period piece where Orlando Bloom speaks, you know, ye old English. But it's like, I definitely prefer Elizabeth Swann and Will Turner. Like, I sort of have attached myself to them over three movies, but like, I really feel it's just the same formula done again here with lesser actors.
I agree, but I think the difference is, and I was thinking exactly the same thing. I'm like, well, that's, you know, Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom do the same thing in the first one. I kind of want to go watch the first one after this review. I think the difference being, right, that Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley as characters, so Will Turner and the other one, Elizabeth Swann, they do things, like they're actively doing things.
Well, they basically become pirates, don't they?
Yeah, but they in the first film, like, they're actively making an effort to... Will fights Johnny Depp. Like, Will fights Jack Sparrow. That's the first introduction, one of the first introductions. We see him be funny. He pulls the urn off. We see he's like a master swordsman. We see him like showing off his sword skills. There's tension with him and Elizabeth Swann because it's like forbidden love. Elizabeth Swann is like this princess basically who like, you know, goes out of her way to do the wrong thing, and she like falls off a fucking built like a castle into the water, and like... And, like, there's all these moments where they're active protagonists, and we see their skill and their ability. Whereas in this, what's his name? Henry? Is it Henry?
Yeah.
We see Henry, what? Punch a fucking Navy captain in the face, talk to a captain, he gets captured, he's put in prison. He does nothing. Like, he barely does anything. He swings on that rope that one time. Like, it's like... They're going, oh, well, we'll give him these moments to prove a point. Like, they don't actually care about the characters. They're just trying to give them specific moments so it seems like they're more than they are. Because really, they don't do fucking anything. And they just fucking sit around. And it's like, they're there to sort of push moments with Jack. Like, they're there to push comic relief with Jack.
That's you know? Exactly. They're there to cater to Depp. And that's what it comes down to, because these guys obviously aren't anywhere near the level of stardom of Johnny Depp. And I'm sure Johnny Depp's ego had a big part of the timing of what the actors get on screen. But I don't know if I totally agree with you, because I think that Henry gets quite a bit. He's really the pushing point of the story. Like, him and Karina are the reason why they're going after this MacGuffin, which is the Poseidon. Poseidon?
Yeah, Poseidon's trident.
Poseidon's trident. And so I feel like they are actually doing things, but it's more in the background. Like, I like the scene where Karina is about to get hung and Henry comes and saves her. That's really cool.
That's a good scene.
Things like that. So I feel like they are doing stuff. It's just probably not as much as Will Turner did or Elizabeth Swann did. And I think that very much is because Johnny Depp needed to take spotlight. Look, I have to say one thing, though. As white bread as the guy who played Henry, Brenton Thwaites, is, he's like this Aussie actor who I just don't think is very good. He hasn't been in very
fucking
good movies.
I knew he was Australian.
Yeah, yeah. He's been in a few bigger films in the last few years, and none of them have been particularly good. But I was a bit, when I seen him in the trailers, I was like, oh, that guy, fuck. And they're just trying to make a new, you know, Orlando Bloom and whatever. But I have to say, I actually didn't mind him in this. Like, he still is very much white bread. I totally agree with you. But he's very much white bread in the same vein that Orlando Bloom was and I can honestly say I like Orlando Bloom. So I think he's almost on that level. He's not quite as good, but he did impress me. So I he's not half bad. But I actually really liked the chick who played Karina.
I didn't like either of these people at all.
Yeah.
One fucking bit.
I'm getting that feeling. But I guess because I just watched the other ones and I was sort of like, they're fitting the roles that they're giving. You know what I mean? They're fitting that Elizabeth Swann and Will Turner roles. Not as good, I'll admit, but I think that they're very much playing the roles to set up those moments for Jack Sparrow. Like, I really liked Karina. I thought she was a tough chick, and I liked that they all thought she was a witch because she was all into science. And, you know, even the little thing that she ended up having with Barbossa was a little bit touching. It could have been probably looked into a little bit more. But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of got behind these guys. But, like I said, they're very much setting it up for Mr. Depp. So, should we talk about him?
I don't think I could disagree more on anything. Like, holy fucking shit, I thought they were crap. Sorry. I've already said that, but I just didn't like them. But yeah, let's move on to Johnny Cash Cow Depp.
Well, it wasn't like this friggin' production was just hell from what I've heard because of this dude. Like, he tried to bring his friggin' dogs into Australia, and then our environmental minister or somebody got all up in arms and wouldn't let him do it, and then they went to court.
It was like, fuck oath. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, you don't fucking run the country, dude. Holy shit. Get the fuck out. We have, like, really full-on quarantine laws here, okay? Yeah. I'm sorry that you can't bring your fucking dogs in, but you're here to work, so come and do your job that you're ridiculously overpaid to do, which is say lines in front of a fucking camera and then fuck off home and play with your animals. Jesus Christ. Like, you self-entitled prick. And then, related to the film, he doesn't really do his job very well, does he? Because he fucking, my God, does he really just go for the whatever the fuck he wants in this one? Holy shit. Just the fucking worst performance I've ever seen from him as Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Look, I was watching him and I'm kind of enjoying him, but I'm like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel like Jack Sparrow. Did you get that feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like he doesn't deliver lines properly. He mumbles through things. Well, that's he's not the thing. In it. Like, he doesn't feel in it. He's
like slurring the whole time. And like, Jack Sparrow has a bit of like a, you know, but he never really slurred unless he was blind drunk, from what I remember. And
yeah, and that,
it feels like he's blind drunk the whole time in this movie. what are we doing here? What's going on? You know, like, it just feels wrong. And he doesn't even quite look right. Like, there's one thing that I've always said about Johnny Depp and this character is that I don't actually think of Jack Sparrow as Johnny Depp.
I think
of Jack Sparrow as Jack Sparrow, because that's how fucking good he is in this role, at least for the last four films. And he just becomes the character. Like, to me, he doesn't even look like Johnny Depp. If you're really looking at him, it's like, okay, there he is. But in this round, I feel like it's Johnny Depp playing a character now. You know, I'm seeing through the veil.
Yeah, I agree.
And he
just looks like a guy in makeup. He just looks like a dude in makeup. And he just slurs through his lines and he just does whatever the fuck he wants to do on set. And like, that's what it felt like when I was watching it too. And you can see it, like, he doesn't bring it. He doesn't bring the fucking, the hammer.
I wouldn't say that he doesn't bring it, because, like, I feel if I didn't have the other performances to compare this to, I may have just enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The other ones were really fucking crap. He's just so
perfect in the other ones. He's so perfect. And it's hard to really have a clean look at this, but I did find myself still laughing and enjoying him and, like, going along with it. Like, I had to really like tell myself, okay, he's not playing it the way I want him to play it. Just get the fuck over it, Fish. Move on. You know, because otherwise I was just going to be angry for the whole movie. And because I seen it from the start, like when he wakes up in the safe, he's blind drunk. So I sort of thought, oh, well, maybe it's because he's drunk that he's acting so fucking stupid. Then we go on to find that it's not just that. He's going to act like that for the whole scene, but for the whole movie. But I really enjoyed that scene. Did you like the scene with the stealing of the bank?
I enjoyed moments of it. I think I don't know what it was. It was like some aspects were really fun and cool, and other moments I was like, I don't know, I reckon there could have been a bit more to it. It was really off-putting about the fact that it was a building that was, I don't know why. It was fun. It was probably one of the two scenes I did sit there thinking, like, this is fucking cool. The other scene being when he's about to get hung. He's about to get his head chopped off, and he's, like, spinning guillotine. Like, I was like, that is fucking, that's so great. That's a good moment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's still these moments there. Like, and I have to say, like, I really got behind the whole bank scene. That really put me in the mood for the rest of the movie. And this is something, just a little side route for now. We don't really get adventure movies anymore. You know, we don't get Indiana Jones, and we don't get these fucking pirate movies, swashbuckling adventures and stuff. And it's actually quite refreshing to see something like this. It's simple, PG fun. I know it's not fucking realistic because you've got people on a horse carrying a building, but I'm just really getting behind it. And you've got the great score. Like, the Pirates of the Caribbean theme is just one of the best themes of all time. And just, it's so adventurous. And I get so, like, pumped up on it and so excited when I see these big events happening. So if you're stealing a friggin' building, I don't know, I really found it fun. And he's jumping in and out and going back and forward on it. And so one thing I will say about this movie is, in terms of the stunts and the set pieces and scenes, I really like most of them. And like you said, the flipping of the hanging, the guillotine board, like, that was just hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing at all of it. And the only thing that really brought me down was every now and then was fucking Johnny Depp's performance, in terms of, in other movies, he's kind of been able to let the moment be the moment. Whereas in this one, I feel like he always has to say the last word or tell us the obvious or whatever. Like, there was one bit, like, I think he's talking about, like, have you seen the bank come past, when he goes into the astronomer's building?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it smashes, and he's like, oh, there it is. It's like, Jack Sparrow, I feel like Jack Sparrow wouldn't say that. He'd just look at it and be like, oh, shit, there it is, and start chasing it, you know? And
yeah.
Little things like...
No, yeah, it didn't feel like we were watching the same character from other films at all. Like, it felt like a different character.
And one other bit where it really put me off is where he's about, you know, he's sold off his compass and he's about to drink the rum that he stole, and he's like, oh, come to daddy. No, I just don't think, it just feels so fucking wrong, you know?
Curious to see whether or not that was ad-libbed, because it was really poorly scripted. Like, this fucking script in this film is just goddamn terrible too. Like, holy shit. Yeah, all the fucking dialogue was just so on the nose and ridiculous. In fact, the only person who I think really nails it is Javier Bardem. Like, he really played his character well. Like, for what he was, I think he did a really good job. I think all of the dialogue that he delivers was really good. I think he was pretty, until the end, like, he was pretty fucking intimidating.
Oh,
I think
he does a great job. Yeah, those, like, just the look of him and his crew is really cool. How they're just sort of, just floating.
But I mean, like, the other thing, right? And my partner who I saw it with said the same thing. This film isn't pretty. Like, the CG in this film, I feel like it's like, I noticed it too. Like, it wasn't just her too. Like, I feel like it looked worse than the prior films. Like,
oh really?
The Javier Bardem gang, like, I was looking at them, like, they look kind of shitty. Like, I was like, they look way too animated. Like when you look at Davy Jones, that shit is next level. Like,
yeah, he looks like
they did such a good job making him look fucking real. Like, he looks so real. But in this one, like, and especially the CG shark, those two sequences, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this looks really... It doesn't look terrible. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't look like it's, like, bad. I've seen worse CG. But it wasn't up to the standard of the other Pirates films. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, why does it look like this?
I guess I was able to sort of let it go because of the ghostly nature of them. And I don't know. It sort of worked to me. I really like the look of them. Like, I definitely can say they don't look like they're existing in this world like the skeletons did in Black Pearl or Davy Jones does in the other films. But I think I'm able to let it go. I didn't sit there and be like, oh, man, how shit does that look? I don't know. And actually, I really liked those sharks. I thought, why is it taking us five movies to get sharks in a friggin' pirate movie? I can't remember in Stranger Tides if we got any, but, like, it was kind of cool to see some sharks terrorizing Jack Sparrow. And I found, like, a good set piece as well. I found that, like, a really fun sequence. Like, the guys are running across the friggin' water. These sharks are, like, jumping over, and it's, like, doing the slow-mo snap and all that sort of thing. I got behind it. I thought it was cool.
I just thought it was lame. I don't know. Like, I think the reason I thought it was lame was because, like, I'm not expecting major set pieces or anything. Like, I'm just expecting, like, really well choreographed moments, because I'm, like, the other ones, that's what they do really well. Like, the sword fighting and, like, their big sequences are always really fun to watch. Whereas in this one, the only two that I genuinely sat there and went, this is really enjoyable to watch, were the guillotine scene, which was fucking really cool.
Yeah.
And the opening scene, the bank scene's really good. But, like, everything after that, I was like, I'm not having fun watching this. Like, that scene in the boat, I was like, okay, like, I get it, but they're just kind of, they're not doing much, and the guys running across the water is a bit I've already seen. Like, they play that up in the first one, and with the fucking, the Davy Jones gang, where they can do that shit, where they can walk underwater and stuff. Walk like, that's their whole thing. Yeah. So when I'm seeing them on top of water, I'm like, I've already fucking seen this, so this isn't new to me at all. I'm like, the shark thing was whatever. Like, I just think because it didn't look great, I wasn't into it. And then, on top of that, the fucking scene near the scene where they're having their little boat battle, you know, where they're like the Jack Sparrow, like, they're having their battle on the boats. It's right before they find that star map thing, the land, whatever. It was so dark. Like, I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, and, like, it was so weirdly shot compared to when they do other scenes. Like, I expected to see a sword fight between Javier Bardem and Jack Sparrow. I expected for it to look good. And I expected the sequence where he's running on the cannons to look good. But it was, like shot well and like, to be really well and wide. Because that's what they do a lot. They do really good wide shots in pirate films where you get to see these awesome sequences where they're fighting. But instead I'm getting, like, a really weirdly shot, like, I feel like I'm watching another, you know, generic action film where they're just trying to get the coverage that they need to get rather than stuff that they should be getting. And that was something that that really irked me, and it really did set me off. I was like, what the fuck? And, like, the other thing is, there's not a lot of sword fighting. Where's my sword fighting, yo? That's what I'm all about. The fucking first film starts with Jack having a sword fight with Will, and it's fucking awesome, you know? Every single film has an awesome sequence where they're, like, having a battle. This one doesn't have that. Even the end with Poseidon, it's just Javier Bardem throwing him around with the trident. Like, that's kind of it.
Well, it's funny because I sort of feel this the opposite way, because I enjoy a good sword fight, and I enjoy a good ship battle and all that business, but to be honest, like, when I go back and watch those other movies, those are the parts where I kind of zone out a little bit, because it's just a bunch of clinging and clanging and cannons going off. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, okay, so I know who's going to win this battle and they're going to move on. Like, it's just whatever. So I kind of enjoy more of, like, the setup stunt set pieces, where, like, you know, stealing a building or flipping around in a guillotine or the whole sequence with them running on the water and the sharks and all that. Like, that's more eventful to me as opposed to two guys clanging swords. So I kind of get behind that a bit more.
Yeah, I get that. I just think, but don't get me wrong, I don't disagree. I really want to see crazy set pieces. I'm just saying, like, I didn't think anything more than what I said before, like, was that fun. Like, the fucking second one has them running on a giant wheel, in a wheel, and, like, that's an awesome set piece. The third one's got the fucking whirlpool in the middle where their ships are circling the whirlpool, and, like, goddamn, is that cool, you know? Whereas in this, I'm like, what? I don't know. It just hurt me. It hurt me real bad. And then, okay, I want to bring this up because I'm going to forget to bring it up. Yep. The Navy captain. What the fuck is his, like, what was that? This guy kind of gets brought in. He's from 300 and he's in Australia.
Oh, the Australian dude,
he's
a
Navy
yeah.
captain. And he's brought up and they pay him attention. They give him screen time. And then he's, like, on the chase. He captures the Black Pearl crew for a little bit. But then they just get wrecked, like, completely destroyed before they do anything. They have no real...
It's so funny that story drive. It's funny that you're saying that, because when you said the Navy captain, I was thinking of the guy from the first one. I'm like, hold on, he wasn't in this movie. So who are you talking about? Like, I'd totally forgotten about this guy.
Yeah.
There was another character that I thought got a bit of shaft as well, and it was that chick who's actually a witch. You know the one that Captain Barbosa's working with, the bald chick? Where the hell did she go? Shit? I was like quite interested in her. I was like, oh, this chick's actually a witch. And how are they going to play up, you know, there's been this other girl that they're condemning to death because they think she's a witch, but she's actually just using science, but there's an actual witch. How are they going to play with that? Oh, they're not. They're not going to do anything with it. Fucking hell.
And that's it, isn't it? And the other thing is, like, I think she's meant to be similar to the Bob Marley witch in Dead Man's Chest, you know, the dread lady.
But who like, actually it's like has
in that
a...
one, she had a big...
Yeah, Calypso.
She had a big part in it. Yeah, Calypso. But she had a big part in it, whereas in this one, she shows up for 3 seconds. She's only there to give fucking Barbosa the compass, which they don't even, like, tell you how or give you any sort of interesting thing. She's like, I've got my ways. I'll suck my fucking dick. Like, honestly, what the fuck is that? Why couldn't we just see a scene where Barbosa follows the fucking path of destruction Jack left on that island, goes to the bartender and goes, oh, give me that fucking compass. Like, that'd be a cool scene to see. Instead, we get another talking scene because this film is literally 75% dialogue. Fuck me. It's so much talking and talking and talking. And the other thing is, the thing that frustrated me about the witch thing as well is that it felt so forced. Like, it felt like the whole reason all these characters are coming together and meeting to get this trident was super forced. Like, it felt like they brought in Jeffrey Rush, because his boats are being attacked by Javier's gang. Why the fuck would Javier Bardem's boat be attacking other pirates when they're literally, like, his whole purpose his goal is to get Jack
Sparrow, yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be, I'm going to find this guy and murder... Like, that was so strange to me.
Well, I guess it was because it was his goal from the start. He just, you know, it's kind of like a side quest in Red Dead Redemption. You're, like, on the way to the main mission, but hey, I'll fucking stop off and do this.
Yeah, but it's like, it just doesn't make sense for that character, you know? And the other thing is, Jack giving away his compass for whatever fucking nonsensical reason lets these guys free, but it has no connection to how they're killed. The compass has no connection to how they're killed. So I don't understand how him giving away this compass has any relevancy.
The Devil's Triangle. I felt him just giving away his compass was like a big, like, you know, we've just spent 4 fucking films knowing how important this compass is. And we know that he's hit rock bottom, but, you know, he could sell his hat. He could sell his sword. He could sell anything but the compass for a bottle of rum, you know?
And then the other thing is, on top of that, he gets the compass back before Javier Bardem is killed. So wouldn't that mean if he gets the compass back, the curse goes back or something?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What is that?
There's also another sort of hole in this script that I found was, you know how Salazar can possess somebody? We find out that he eventually possesses Henry. Why wouldn't he just do that from the start?
Yeah, he doesn't, you know? he can't go on land, right? And he doesn't even chase Jack when they're on the beach because he can't go on land, but they're literally in front of him. Why doesn't he just shift his little fucking being into one of them?
Yeah, that's what I mean. And not like I'm sure there's something a little more complicated to it, but like, if like, why does it really matter that he's in his body? Like, if he's in somebody else's body doing his, you know, pursuing his goal, I don't see what the problem is here. And they make a whole thing that's like, oh, but sir, if you go into that body, you'll never be able to come out, sort of thing. And it's only until they get to the Poseidon staff thing, that the trident, that he can get out of it. So it's really a nothing thing anyway. But I just thought from the start, I'm like, well, why wouldn't, like, the minute that he met friggin' Henry, why didn't he just possess him and then go after Jack Sparrow? I don't know. It's just a few little things that...
But they're not little. Like, they're, like, major things that are real issues because they don't connect. Like, nothing really connects. There's no flow. It's like they just have all these little things going on so the end goal can happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, we want all these characters to meet. How do we do that? But they didn't really think that through, and it just feels really like... I don't know. It just seems so odd and strange. Like, you know, it's all about betrayal. All the Pirates of the Caribbean films, everyone's betraying everyone.
Yeah, well, it's just a pirate's life. Yeah.
Whereas in this, it again just feels like, what, fucking Barbosa betrays Javier Bardem, but we know Barbosa's not going to betray Jack. Like, at this point, they've been through that much. We know it's not going to happen. Mm. You know, like, it's just another moment where I was like, what the fuck? Like, this just seems so on the nose almost. And it all just kind of links for the sake of linking is how I felt, you know, like I just felt like I was watching moments happen for the sake of them happening, and like the Navy captain getting eaten is a perfect example where I'm like, why is this happening? Like, what relevancy is this? And then they're on that fucking island and Jack's getting married. Like,
yeah, that was such a weird little thing.
It was so weird, and like at the same time, they get on the Black Pearl, so like they put the pearl in the water, so Barbossa finds them. Javier Bardem's waiting for them, but like he goes back to his boat and they get the pearl, and then only after they, like, he only starts attacking them like ages later. You know what I mean? Like, it's yonks later when he finds them again. Like, he's like surprised, and that's when he kills the Navy captain.
How did they even get it out of the bottle? Was it something as simple as just opening the bottle? Like, I can't remember how.
Blackbeard's sword. Because Blackbeard in the fourth one curses him and keeps all the ships in a bottle. But, and he uses the power of the sword to...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. So there was a reason.
But that's fucking stupid too. Because he's had the fucking sword since the fourth one. So why isn't it the moment he gets the sword if he knows that's going to take the pearl out of the bottle? Because Barbossa wants the pearl too. Why wouldn't he... What the fucking... Like, it's just shit like that. Like, it's the same thing where the curse is lifted. Will Turner is no longer a fucking crab man. Right? He's no longer a thing. And then at the end of the film, Davy Jones shows up in a dream, but it's not a dream. And it's like, okay, why would Davy Jones come back? Because he's dead, right? Two, if he's come back because they need a captain for the Flying Dutchman, because the Flying Dutchman harbors the dead, which isn't necessarily a curse, right? So that's fine. But why is he a fucking crab man? Because we know he only turned into a crab man for not doing his job. And if the curse is lifted, wouldn't he just be a normal person? What the... Fucking hell, I'm getting a goddamn migraine talking about this movie. Fucking Jesus. Well, think about your plots, people.
In terms of things like linking and all that sort of stuff, like, yeah, it is frustrating, and I don't think any of the movies have been as weak as this in that terms. But I do feel like that is a thing that comes into these Pirates of the Caribbean movies, is just like there's things are just linking for the sake of linking and getting us to the next scene. And it's very much, everything's just a MacGuffin to get us to the next action set piece or the next Jack Sparrow joke. It's been done a lot better in the other movies, but it's still very much what these movies are about, and they just haven't done it as well here.
I literally haven't seen the other films in years. Like, I haven't seen a Pirates of the Caribbean film in a long, long time.
Yeah, well, I think exactly what I'm saying right now is a big reason why I wasn't able to connect earlier. In my lifetime, because it very much is all there. Oh, there's this MacGuffin. It's always about some MacGuffin. There's some fucking Aztec gold. There's Dead Man's Chest. There's, you know, fucking Davy Jones's heart. It's always something they need to get to so we can have a bunch of fun getting on the way.
Yeah.
And
which is a very adventure film thing.
What Indiana Jones does it as well. Like, it's just what it is. It's a guy who has to get from A to B, and we have the adventure on that road. It's like, it's always the... The journey is more exciting than the outcome. And that's what these are all based around. So I'm okay with it, but it's just a little bit more evident in this film, and you've just pointed that out. But I have to say, though, like, it sounds like you didn't really like that final scene with the parting of the water and Javier throwing Jack around and stuff, but I thought that was quite fun too.
No, I think for a final moment, like for some of the final set pieces, it just was nothing. Like, he's not causing Jack that much pain. He's not really torturing him. He's literally just throwing him around.
Well, you never really feel like he's going to die, do you? Like, No, I agree.
There's never a fear. And, like, literally, Jack Sparrow fucking dies twice. Like, he gets stabbed in the first one, and he gets fucking killed in the second one. He gets eaten in the second one. So, like, for me, like, honestly, like, Jack, up until probably the end of the third, Jack dying is a genuinely serious thing that could potentially happen, because he's not the fucking protagonist. Obviously, at this point, we know he's not, you know, but at least fucking try. Come on, give it a go. It's just like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing him around? And that was so ugly, that sequence, because, like, they've got the waves on either side of him, and it just looks super fake to me. Like,
oh, really? I thought it looked awesome. That's why I like it. Another very cool set piece. Like, where else can we have these pirates fight? What about on the bottom of the ocean and the whole part seas thing? Like, I really... Again, got behind it. I was with it, and I guess I'm forgiving because I just like the look of it.
Yeah, I like the parting of the sea. I didn't actually like it. The quality, I guess, like the quality of it to me was not good enough. And I mean, like, then we've got But oh, we missed a fucking bit I want to talk about. Sorry. Okay. Come on now. Fucking Barbossa has a kid. What the actual fuck is this nonsense? When the fuck has this ever been a thing? It's not even a point in the fucking film until they meet and he sees that stupid fucking book and he shows a tattoo of his arm of the stars. What? Like, what the fuck? That is the most hammed up, like, oh, let's shove this down your throat. The moment they showed me that, I was like, he's going to die. Like, the moment I find out he had a daughter, I'm like, he's dead. He's so dead. And, like, it's so fucking on the nose. This pirate's like, oh, the one thing I care about is my daughter. Fuck off, dude. And then the ruby that he gives her, supposedly. How the fuck did he get that ruby to her if the ruby's on the fucking island that no one has ever found before? Because the ruby's a part of the fucking island. How the fuck does that make sense? Why the fuck... He has this stupid backstory where he gives her away and he's like, I gave her the ruby so she had something. But supposedly he's this massive fucking...
astronomer.
Astronomer? Yeah. Like, when the fuck has Barbossa been a fucking astronomer? In the first film, he's literally... He's pure evil in the first film. Like, he's literally an evil guy. He fucking sacks an entire fucking city. He murders people all the time. And the whole point is, like, you kind of accept that he kind of turns good because he's never really good. But suddenly we get this backstory where he's, like, this kind-hearted astronomer, this genius man who knows how to read the stars. Where the fuck... What the fuck?
Well,
come
like
on.
You knew,
like,
you knew
that
he
so
would be
stupid.
You knew he'd be able to read the stars because he's a captain. He can read the stars. He knows how to get home.
Yeah,
so.
He's a fucking pirate. Like, every other fucking pirate should be able to read the stars, except for Captain Give Me Money Sparrow.
Yeah,
fucking
there was
hell.
never really anything else pointing to the fact that he would be this fantastic astronomer. And, like, oh yeah, it's a bit weak in that sense. But, again, I'm going to give it a gimme because I quite like, even albeit it'd be just a very quick, fleeting moment, but I really enjoyed the touching moment of him falling off the rope off the anchor and, you know,
did
saving
you like
her life.
That?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh, it was so lame to me. I was like, what?
Well, I just don't think it can be because, like, Jeffrey Rush is too good for it to be lame. Like, he's such a great actor that it might have been worse with somebody else, but just the way he played it, like, and I know I'm all with you. It's very quick. Like, it's probably all of 10 minutes that we know that he has a daughter and... In that 10 minutes, I get, like, it's just sold to me, like, by Jeffrey Rush's performance because I could see it in his eyes and he's like, fuck, you know, I've been a pirate and I've loved my life, but, like, I've fucking left this girl in the lurches for so long. And again, it could have been a lot stronger, but, like, because he plays it so well, I'm sold. I'm like, okay, yeah, that sucks, man. You just reunited with your daughter and now you're dead. But, you know, good for you. You sacrificed yourself for her.
I just thought it was so... It's too quick. It was too much. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't... Plus, didn't they have pistols? Couldn't they just shoot him off the fucking chain? Isn't that a thing they could have done?
I did think that. But...
Like, and plus, wouldn't you just wait until you get up on the boat and then there's, like, 20 of you and you just stab the fuck out of him? Because he's not... He doesn't have anyone. He's not grabbing anyone. He's literally just... On
he's
the
coming.
Chain. And that's
he's
why
coming.
I didn't like it. Because I was like, man, that death is so forced. And I just...
Oh, it was definitely forced. Like, I'll give you that. But I'm just... I don't know. I was touched.
If Barbossa's to go out, I want to see him get, like, fucking stabbed and, like, by, like, 50 different fucking people as he's, like,
you know,
massacring them all.
Yeah, back against the wall. This is the last stand.
Like, he's a goddamn pimp daddy. Barbossa's literally the second best thing about the entire series. And, like, I've watched him go from an awesome, fearless pirate, to a fucking, like, he wears a wig and he's, like, made a mockery of, basically. And, like, it's just, he looks silly. And then, like, his death is this wanky, like, it just felt very 21st century. Like, it felt very, like, 2010. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how everything now has to be this... Do you know what I mean? Like, everything, every death has to be this beautiful, justified thing. You can't just have a fucking guy go down, like, in an epic fight for being a badass pirate. It's got to be he's got to save the daughter that he's had for fucking 5 minutes. And he's got a fucking tattoo of the stars on his arm? Who are you to me? Treasure. Like, what? What? When?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was good just to see a humane side to this guy who's been so clearly a pirate for the last four films. So yeah, look, I'm not fucking defending it. I'm just saying that I was able to go with it because of him. Look, I've got two more things I want to talk about before we get the hell out of here. We didn't really talk about it when we were speaking about old Cap'n Jack, but what about his de-aged stuff? How did you feel about that?
It was like, I mean, you got to give him props because they did a good job of making like a guy look like a young Johnny Depp, but it definitely looked CG. Like there was a lot, like you and I spoke about Rogue One and another film as well, where they use CG on a face. And like, it's hard to tell for me. I don't really give a fuck, but I sort of noticed it, maybe because it was daytime, but I definitely noticed that it wasn't him. And I think that might be because Jack Sparrow is such a distinct character. And so when I'm looking at a CG version, it's pretty hard to tell. But I think it was a good, like, it was kind of one of the cooler things to watch was him hook a boat, you know.
Yeah, do the
around.
Yeah. It looks okay. It's kind of cool to see a younger version of this character and younger Johnny Depp and whatever. And it's not bad CG. Like, I'll give it that. Like, I kind of go with it. But did we really need to see a younger Johnny Depp? I think the biggest thing that works for this character is his legend, you know? Like, his rather... Yeah. And this is, you know, this is totally going against every filmmaking trope, you know, the whole show don't tell. But I almost like the, like, hearing the legends of Jack Sparrow, who, you know, roped two turtles together to get off of a deserted island, you know? Yeah. I like just hearing about what he's done and then going back to him and him not really being that character. That's what's always really worked here. So now that we've got an actual flashback, which I don't think we've gotten before, if I'm right in saying.
No, first flashback. Flashbacks are coming back too. They're a real common trope. They happen in fucking Alien Covenant too.
Yeah, that's right. So it's
and Guardians of the Galaxy too.
Yeah, that's true. So I don't know. I wasn't, like, as cool a scene as it was, and the little smart ass Jack is kind of fun, I guess, but I almost liked it better when he was just the legend of his earlier days.
I don't really think it was a necessary scene. Like, I think Javier Bardem didn't need to see why he hated Jack. Everyone just seems to fucking hate him, you know? Like, Davy Jones has a past with him. The whole premise behind Davy Jones is that he owes him souls. You never see why he's owed souls.
And like, even in the Black Pearl, like, you never hear about, you never see the time when the guys all turn into skeletons, like, as they're you know, getting rid of all the Aztec gold. It's just, it is. And it's kind of cool because it's such a pirate thing. It's such a point, like, you know, telling the tales. It's all tales of these people turning into ghosts and the black ship and all that.
I don't think it goes, you know, it's against show don't tell, because it's almost like too much. Like, you want to show a story, use it as background, use it as drive for the current story we want to see, because we know it's like a prequel film. We know how it's going to end. Therefore it isn't a story because the ending's already done. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel. I already know that Jack killed him because he's fucking dead and he talks about it. It just seemed, it was unnecessary, yeah. But it was a cool scene. I don't understand, like, I don't like when films, like, give, it's the same thing. Like, they show, oh, this is how he got the stuff that he puts in his hair. Like, who fucking cares? Like, I don't want to know how he got his hat. His hat, it's like a, it's his hat. That's the whole point. It's just his hat. It's his hat. I don't fucking want to see how he got it. I'm glad he has it. I'm glad he has a look. I don't need to know exactly why he fucking looks that way. Holy shit. It's like, the Star Wars prequels do it as well, and it's fucking irritating. I forget how they do it. They do it for certain character traits and stuff, where they show things that are just, like, unnecessary. Like C-3PO. Like, where
C-3PO came from, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, he's a droid. I don't need to know where he came from. I just need to know he's there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need that for a story. People don't need to know. You know the whole fucking phrase, like, come in late? You don't come in early in a story, you come in late. So fucking do that.
Yeah.
Jesus. What's the other thing you want to talk about?
Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann. We finally got them back, even if it is just for a final little scene there.
Yeah.
Man, I've got to say, as much as I found these characters white bread in the other ones, and I, like, going back and watching them again, I was like, I don't particularly care about them, but it does feel wrong that they're not here. And I think that was a big problem with number four. Is that finally we've got this movie that they're not there, and it's like, well, if you're not bringing the gang back, why are we here? It's you know what I mean? Like, it's like you were talking about The Hangover before. Look, you could make an Alan spin-off movie, but it's not going to be the same because I still want Bradley Cooper and the other lads there, you know? Yeah, like it's they're still just as much a part of it because you need those ones for Alan to play off them. And very much here, we kind of need those characters for Johnny Depp to play off.
And you can see the moment they rock up, you can tell the difference in performance as well between them and the newbies. Like, immediately you go...
It's so funny because they're actually side by side, like, acting off, basically.
Genuinely so much better and talented. And, like, they just, like, bring it immediately. They show up and you're like... And all I thought was, if Orlando Bloom agreed to do this, and I'm pretty sure Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom have said they'll do another one, like, they'll be in another one. If they've agreed to do this, why the fuck wouldn't you just make it a story where Keira Knightley's helping Jack Sparrow get Orlando Bloom? Like, imagine the amount of fucking money that you'd rake in by having the full cast back. Like, imagine if in a trailer you see them all working together again. The gang is... You could even sell it as the gang is back. Like, the film...
Mm-hmm.
All three of those actors are massive. You would be making fucking bank. And, like, I reckon Keira Knightley said, get fucked. Keira Knightley's pretty talented.
She's not really in these sort of movies anymore. She kind of does like all the Pride and Prejudice bonnet films these days. Yeah. So I don't know. I think you're probably not wrong. It would have been her over Orlando because Orlando's not really working too much these days. So I imagine he probably would have done anything he can do. Well, he did The Hobbit and then he's done this. I don't know if he's been in anything in between.
But I don't think it wouldn't be because he couldn't get work because he's pretty talented. It must be just because he doesn't give a fuck. I reckon he's just made bank off Lord of the Rings. Like, he would have had huge. I reckon he got a huge percentage and he's just like, yep, fucking see you last. Fucking bye.
Yeah. Like, but like, I have to say, I got like frigging goosebumps in that scene with them coming together because they are one of the true romances in film. Like, I really believe that these two characters love each other and want each other because every movie is about them getting each other back, you know, sort of thing. And it was so nice to just see them come in. And I thought exactly the same thing as you just said, like, why couldn't this whole movie be about those guys? Why couldn't it be instead of it being, Henry Turner, it be Elizabeth Swann is the one trying to get her husband back from the, Davy Jones's locker. There's the thing. There's your MacGuffin. Go with it. And we've got our characters back. It's as simple as that. And
also, Elizabeth Swann's a fucking badass bitch. Like, she's literally the pirate king in the last film. In the third film, doesn't she become the pirate king?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no fucking sense. It was dumb. And it was, like, literally the best moments of the film were with them. Like, the moment I see them, I'm like, fuck yeah.
I reckon they must have had enough money, unless Johnny Depp just took too damn much, which I don't doubt. But like, this budget was huge, man. When it was in Australia, that I think they worked it out to be 350 million Australian, which is around 230 mil US, I think. So that's fucking massive.
They would have had enough. Like, they just would have said no, I reckon. And I'm gonna be honest, like, a film with the terrible, like, from the second film onward has had really poor, you know, critic reviews, you kind of got to really stop and think, like, do I want to do this as an actor? I think, like, which is fair. And I think getting locked into a franchise is probably really frustrating for a lot of people. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
especially somebody like Keira Knightley, who clearly wants to do like the deeper Pride and Prejudice type films. Yeah. Which,
like, look at those Marvel heroes. Like, those Marvel heroes are stuck in those roles forever and they don't even know it yet. Like, it's going to be hard for quite a few of them to get different work depending on the role. Like, and I think that'll be tough for them, but they're just making fuckloads.
Well, talking about, you know, the one thing I've been reading in a lot of reviews of this film is most of them start with, did we really need another Pirates of the Caribbean movie? And, like, I think we did. I think I'm going to turn out for any movie that comes in this franchise. I'm going to keep coming back. Like, I like the character of Jack Sparrow and I like just going on a great adventure. And there's no other movie doing it. So until another franchise steps up, this is what we got at the moment. Maybe eventually we'll get a new Indiana Jones, but, you know, those guys are getting old and it's going to take a little time to set up a new one. Chris Pratt, please. But you just don't know. So this is all we've got. And I'm okay. Like, I had a good time watching this movie. Like I said, it was just refreshing to go into this sort of world again. This swashbuckling adventure. They have been talking about the fact, like, the trailers have all said the final adventure, and from what I keep hearing, like,
yeah, begins.
How hard these friggin' movies are to make. Like, it sounds like every one they kind of want to leave it, they want to finish it, but you know, these movies make bank, man. So it's like they'll probably keep making it. Do you think we're going to get a sixth one?
Yes. Fuck. Yes, of course we are. It's a franchise. They'll make them until they literally, like, they literally cannot anymore. Mm. It'll take a death of a character, or they'll literally be losing too much money. That's the only way they'll fucking stop making them, much like every franchise. Like,
yeah, well, after Stranger
even
Tides.
Even Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after Stranger Tides, they did have a fifth and sixth being worked on, and then they eventually knocked it back to just this one, which was kind of in pre-production hell for a little while and eventually got made. But I don't know, like, they, like, the way I was going into the movie, I was like, okay, so this is it, this is the last one. But at the end of the film, we have Johnny Depp being like, okay, I'm going past my horizons, so okay, so that means more adventures. And I actually turned to Beck and I said, I hope it is, because I got more excited at the end of the film with the prospect of Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann being in it again than probably the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we get that final scene with Davy Jones as well. And now I just want to fucking know. Like, I want to know what that's all about and how it's going to bring back Will Turner and Davy Jones going off at it. Like, I'm excited to see what that is. But anyway, let's get on to that good old fucking segment we like to call The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. What do you got for the good?
The guillotine scene's pretty sick, man. Pretty much fucking loving that. What's your good?
I'll probably say, like, just the big sequences, the big set pieces. The fun and the adventure of this film is on point. And I have to tip my hat to that. So that's my good. What's your bad?
My bad would be probably fucking... Oh, gee. It's just, like, I love so much of it. I'd say... what would my bad be? Like, what specifically? Probably the dialogue between Corona Beer and
Henry
Will Turner Jr. Those that fucking dialogue was just so lame. Holy shit. The worst tension and chemistry on screen. Hope they're up for a Razzie. What's your bad?
I think my bad is just the little things that Johnny Depp's done differently with Jack Sparrow here. Mm. It just feels so wrong, and it actually, like, borderlined on pissing me off. Like, I had to actually settle myself down and be like, just go with the fish, it's all good, he's still got some good things going on here, he's still being Jack Sparrow, it's just not the Jack Sparrow I want. Like, saying the little things like, come to daddy, and oh, there it is when the bank comes past. It's just, oh, it's so wrong. It's not enough to make me hate the character, but it's the worst thing in the film.
Ugly. My ugly would be the daughter. The daughter story strand was just the shittest thing ever. That was crap.
I'm sort of along those lines. Like, as you all know, I didn't mind the idea of it. I think it's just the execution of a lot of these things. Like, a lot of setting up shit that just is mulled over so quickly. You know, the whole Poseidon breaking the staff is just so easy. Everything's just, like, just MacGuffins. Just MacGuffins. There's no real... there's not that solid connection which I would expect, and it's just a bunch of things happening as opposed to one big solid narrative a lot of the way. So that's kind of frustrating. Let's get out of here. Our final thoughts on Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales.
This film's fucking garbage. I hated it. I fucking hated it. It was fucking terrible. Like, I fucking hated this film. It was so shit. Like, I genuinely didn't enjoy myself at all. Like, I came out of it and I was like, I don't feel better about myself. You know, like, even when we're talking about Guardians 2, I didn't like Guardians 2, I didn't like Alien Covenant, but they had really, you know, things that I could value about them. This had fucking nothing. It had two scenes. Johnny Depp sucked. Fucking Keira Knightley and Will Turner Jr. fucking sucked. God damn. The CG looked like shit, in my opinion. Fucking, it just didn't feel like a Pirates of the Caribbean film at all. Like, I just... all I wanted when I went in was a grand sense of adventure and set pieces that I could, like, or just moments throughout the film consistently that were witty. That's a big deal for me, that were witty, because they're pretty well-written films. Like, they're quite funny. I didn't get that, and I didn't even fucking get anything that I enjoyed watching. I get a couple of good bits. I get some bullshit storylines that fucking look like they came out of fucking Neighbours from 2005. And I get just crap in between. Like, what the fuck? Why is there so much talking? Why? Why? Shut up. And, like, nothing makes fucking sense. Nothing makes fucking sense. The map. It's a map. It's a map. Oh, we're here on the map. Have a fucking ruby that's from the map that no one has found before. What? Sorry? Anyway, it's actual human garbage. And this film, if it was a person, would be the physical manifestation of a migraine. It gets a fucking 1.5 out of 5 actual shit. The only reason it gets anything higher is because I get Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley rocking up fucking 3 minutes... Done.
Holy shit.
Please continue.
Look, I can't disagree with some of the things that you're saying, like to progress on my ugly things, like Javier not possessing somebody from the start, like having silly flashbacks, just really stunting a lot of the film, like a lot of plot holes and a lot of things going on. I can recognize that there are problems here, but at the end of the day, I just had so much damn fun. It's very much like King Arthur last week. There's a lot of problems, but I'm in the film and I'm going with it. This gave me what it kind of promised. And you're saying that you didn't really get that grand sense of adventure and all that. I definitely did. And that's what I have to say is the best thing about this movie. Like, once that score picks up and we, you know, we get big sweeping shots of fucking pirate ships and things, I'm just... in it, and I'm just having a good time. Like, I went and seen this at the IMAX. By the way, it was all shot in IMAX, so the whole thing is fucking huge and massive, and I think that kind of helped my sense of adventure. But I was with a fairly small crowd. Like, my turnout, it was opening night, and it was pretty damn quiet, to be honest. But the guys sitting next to me were just eating this shit up, laughing at everything Johnny Depp did, even just him standing there. He'd be, oh, just giggling the whole time, where it actually got annoying. And but I had to think, like, this is good. This guy is in this film and I'm in this film, because I was able to just put aside the bullshit and just have a good time. And that's pretty hard a lot of the time when you're a critic. Like, you're coming in looking for bad things. And like I said, I can recognize the bad things, but I feel like the adventure and the set pieces and where Johnny Depp actually does step up outshines the bad. So I can't say that this is garbage, because I do enjoy it. I think this is probably, like, this is probably the weakest of the pirate movies, but it's still pretty up there. It's pretty on par with what I kind of expected. So I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Mm. Well, that's us done for this week. Hang on. Next week isn't going to happen.
Well, next week you're going to be in Japan. So Japan we were going to
weeks, yeah.
We were going to review Wonder Woman, but we're struggling to try and find a midnight session, because don't you leave on like the Thursday or the Friday or something?
And I leave on the Friday,
like the day after it comes out. So we're trying to find a way that we can sneak in a little review there, but it very much may not happen. But if we can make it happen, you will get that. If we don't, I might even just put up like a little quick review of Wonder Woman, just so we get that taste. But yeah, so you're going to Japan for a couple of weeks, but we will be back when Connor gets back with a review of probably The Mummy, I think.
Well, follow us on iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud and Stitcher. You know the bloody drill, gang. I hope you have a bloody good bloody fucking week. I'm going to be in bloody Japan eating... I'm going to eat Japanese people while I'm over there. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the review. Leave us a message if you liked it. Play the music, Fish.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. Fish and Connor Saw a Movie does not own any rights to the film, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Drink Up Me Hearties, Yo Ho, is performed by Hans Zimmer, and the track The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Titles, is performed by Ennio Morricone.